there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. We'll talk some football. Going to rate the quarterbacks. Yes. You know, I love a good list. We're going to rank the quarterbacks in the NFL. You know who's getting a lot of love? I'm not sure why. Justin Fields of the Bears. Could he be a dark horse MVP candidate? Yeah, I guess. But if you're talking about how good will the Bears be for you to win the MVP, usually it's formulaic. You got to win a certain number of games, maybe get to the playoffs. That would help. When's the last time there was an MVP who didn't make the playoffs? You have to. This isn't baseball. Baseball, I remember a couple of times. I think Cal Ripken won an MVP, didn't make the playoffs. Andre Dawson with the Cubs, A-Rod. You know, if you have a spectacular year, that'd be like Justin Fields rushing for 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns and throwing for 3,500 yards. And the Bears would be good. But we'll talk some football with the quarterback rankings. And everybody wants to know, where's Dak Prescott on that list? We'll answer that for you coming up. Also, J.J. Watt. Oh,
retirement tour.
He's joining us. He's going to be working for CBS this upcoming season, in-studio analyst. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. If you're watching on Peacock, thank you. That's our streaming partner and our radio affiliates, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio as well. USA overnight ties Portugal and advances to the knockout round. They could have easily lost this one. Now they advance, and this is the knockout round. They don't have a lot of offense. Now you can say, hey, they've only given up one goal. Okay, you're going to have to score a little bit here as you advance. But the world is caught up. This has happened to us with basketball, where the dream team happened, we were crushing everybody. Then all of a sudden, everybody saw the dream team and said, oh, this is great. Let's try to get a team that can compete with them maybe in the next couple of Olympics. I think that's where we are with women's soccer. A lot of these countries didn't even have teams. You know, if you go back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, and it feels like those who have had teams are getting better, and the United States right now is sort of teetering. Confidence can't be at an all-time high, I don't think. It certainly shouldn't be. Seton, what did you take away from the women against Portugal?
Well, I didn't watch the match, so I don't really know. But I did think that the game against Portugal was going to be tough. Even though they're debutantes this year, this is the Portuguese women's first World Cup. They're better than your average first timer. And Portugal is clearly a country that has a great soccer history, so they know how to make great soccer players. Now that they're finally investing in the women's game, they should be good for a long time, you know. But this coming into the World Cup, we talked about it, but we knew that this wasn't going to be the cakewalk that a lot of people thought it was going to be. They're clearly down this year, whereas other teams are on the rise.
The next match will be In how many days? Do we know what the draw is?
I think it's probably going to be, I think it was either Sweden or Italy. Italy is a much more favorable matchup than Sweden. Sweden is a really good team. That's going to be tough.
All right, so Team USA ties Portugal, advances to the knockout round. Baseball trade deadline later on today, and the Angels keep coming. The Angels closing in on the wild card, maybe even the division right now, but the trade deadline officially here, Shohei Ohtani won't be moved, but this 6 p.m. trade deadline still provides teams a unique opportunity to improve their rosters one more time. And this has happened to multiple teams and helped propel them into a deep playoff run. You go back to last year, the Padres, Juan Soto, Josh Hader, Josh Bell, they reached the National League Championship Series. 2016, the Cubs brought in Aroldis Chapman, and he helped end the World Series drought. 2015, the Mets picked up Yoenis Cespedes, and he hit 17 home runs after the trade, propelling the New York Mets to the World Series. So there's plenty of players available. You don't have big-ticket items here, but with 18 total teams currently boasting winning records, this afternoon could prove to be really important in who wins the World Series come October. 877-3DP-SHOW. Operator Tyler standing by. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Poll question duties. I know it's going to be in the back row, but it feels like Todd Fritz is grabbing that baton from Seton.
You want me to read a few of these?
No, that's when you talk, Todd.
They fumbled the baton.
Yeah.
And you just dropped it.
After a 0-0 tie with Portugal, how do you feel about Team USA's chances to win the World Cup? I still believe they're going to win their third straight. They will dust themselves off and do well, but won't win it all. Good luck with that. Coming from an Alex Morgan Fox World Cup promo with other countries looking to try to take them down.
Okay. All right. Taking a shot at our girls.
Dang. I'm a big Alex Morgan fan, but good luck with that. It has to be an option.
Of course, you're a big Alex Morgan fan. What else do you have, Tim?
What are your expectations for today's MLB trade deadline, the big day? There will be some major moves in the coming hours. Nothing of much significance is going to happen. We already know Ohtani's staying with the Angels, so who cares? I'm stressing about whether Justin Verlander gets dealt or remains a New York Met.
Okay. These are really wordy poll questions.
When the calendar turns to August, I'm excited because college and pro football are on the horizon, pumped for baseball stretch run and pennant races, depressed because summer's going by too fast, bummed because it's almost time to go back to school.
Well, what's the difference between depressed because summer is going by too fast or bummed because it's almost time to go back to school?
Because one is specifically about students that still have to go back to school. Anyone can relate to summer going by too fast at any generation.
Okay. Yeah, Seton.
So Paul actually sent in a question, too. Worst month of the year, okay. August, February, or other. People are down on August.
Why?
I don't know. What's wrong with August?
I'm down on July.
Whoa, easy.
What? Wait, are we talking sports months or just regular months?
It's whatever your definition is. But amongst the reasons August sucks is football's not here yet. It's about to be here, but it's not. It's scalding hot, and it's been scalding hot all summer, and you're not getting a break yet. Not until September. Sports are, you know, preseason football's okay. It's like the precipice of greatness of September and fall.
Yeah, but July, you're further away from the start of football. It is still hot, and there's no meaningful sports then.
July, though, is prime summer. It's the fun part of summer. And also, August reminds you of being a child. When August 1st would hit and you knew you had to go back to school, you're like, oh, no. It's like being marched down the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's like saying like, Christmas Eve sucks because it's not actually Christmas. Like, not really. It's like the day before. You're leading up to it.
Yeah.
August is sort of the Christmas Eve of football.
I bet you August wins this poll.
I like August.
I got 10 on August.
Okay. Oh, so you got August winning.
Over is February?
And I'm telling you that I like August.
Yes.
Okay.
February. All right. But
you were saying the question is the worst month. You're saying it's August.
Yes.
I'm going to say it's a great month.
All right.
Yeah.
What's the worst month of the year?
July.
All right.
Sports-wise.
So you would vote other. In this question, then.
I would throw February in there as well.
Well, I think those of us that love freedom and independence like July, Dan, but that's just me.
You are a true patriot.
Indeed.
My bad.
Indeed.
Any other poll questions that we may have?
You know, February used to stink, but then the NFL decided we're going to take February 2 and kept bumping the Super Bowl back to where it's like February 13th or something now. They kind of took half of February.
Yeah. Still, though, if your team's not in there,
right,
it's not a good Super Bowl. And then you got that's a real crash. Like you get a real good high and then all of a sudden you crash that Monday. It's like, oh my God, no football for how many months here? Marvin, you have a month that you want to talk about.
The best month is October.
Okay, but well, that wasn't the question.
No, I know. I'm well aware.
You
said, do I have any?
You can't change the rules.
You said, Marvin, do you have any comments? Go ahead.
Worst month.
August.
Okay. All right, fine. Then that's what we're talking about. Nobody said what's the best month, Marvin.
It's October, though.
Best month poll is not till next month.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
What's so great about the April-May combo? Fair. They don't really offer anything.
It's fair.
April-May? What?
Good golf.
My birthday.
Well, mine's in July, so.
Once again.
Worst month.
July is high.
My dad's is in August, so I'm going to keep that one off the list.
I love that this is one of the better debates of our show.
Yes, Todd, what?
I got to go with October being the best month. I'm going with
Marvin. No, we're not doing best
month.
That's
like universally recognized.
October's fantastic.
Especially on this show.
Okay. What, Marvin?
Yeah, August. Oh, back to school. Oh, we got to get our school supplies ready. Oh, this sucks.
Yeah, sucks.
Who needs school?
Like, exactly.
My mother would be like, Marvin, the girls like it when you can read. I was like, really?
Are you sure, though?
That never helped me.
I was going to say, hey, I've seen some ladies with their choices. She was like, Marvin, I swear.
Yeah. What was it about Marvin that you loved? Oh, he could read. Then that, you know what? It could last a lifetime.
My wife said, read out loud. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Keeper's Heart, award-winning Irish-American whiskey. Nobody's ever done this before, bringing the two rich heritages together. You got the Irish-American whiskey-making traditions, and you got a master distiller. He pretty much created everything over in Ireland, Jameson. Then he came over here to the States, and he's created Keeper's Heart. So you got the complexity of American whiskey and the boldness of American whiskey and the richness and smoothness of Irish whiskey. Put them together and you got an award winner. Ask for it when you go into your favorite store. Let's see. Let's settle on a poll question. Are we going to go with worst month? Is that what we're starting out with today?
It's possible.
All right.
It's on the list for sure.
Okay.
Can you believe Pee Wee Herman was 70 years old?
No, when I...
Sorry, Paul Rubens.
Yeah, Paul Rubens. Pee Wee Herman passed away at the age of 70. I remember watching the movies. I didn't watch the show, but I thought Pee Wee's Big Top was pretty funny. There's some good things in there. And he was also in other movies and TV shows. He was a drug dealer in Blow. But he had been in, I think, a variety of things, but found fame as, Pee Wee Herman.
The first movie he made, it cost $7 million to make and made $50 million just in the first month.
Yeah, Marv.
Is anybody else in that category of, hey, his name was Paul Rubens, but everybody knows him as Pee Wee Herman, almost like Jaleel White, like
Urkel?
Right. Is anybody else in that category of Jaleel White, better known as Steve Urkel, or Paul Rubens, better known as Pee Wee Herman?
Gilligan, Bob Denver, he was Gilligan.
Oh, that was his name?
Leave It to Beaver, Jerry Mathers, Beaver. I think there's, Hollywood's littered with people like that. That one name, and they think that that's who, what your name is. You know, one character. Yes.
We used to do that with Entourage. We'd have a lot of be like, hey, E.
Oh, I know.
Like, that's not my real name.
I know. When Turtle would come on.
Hey, Turtle, we have a Turtle on tonight. That's not my real name.
I know. Turtle goes, and remind Dan, my name is Jerry.
That's not my real name.
Yeah, I know, but hey, we're having Jerry Farrar on. Who's that? Turtle and Entourage. Oh, okay. You have that. Fonzie from Happy Days, Henry Winkler for a long time. You got those iconic people. Who is the Seinfeld? Kramer.
Kramer. Yeah.
What's his name? Richards, last
Michael
name? Michael Richards. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll settle on a poll question. Phone calls are always welcome. Operator Tyler is standing by. J.J. Watt, a little bit later on, we will have the rankings of the quarterbacks. That'll be coming up next hour as well. Let's take a break. 15 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Mike Sando, senior NFL writer for The Athletic. Boy, look at all of these pages here. I got my quarterback rankings, NFL quarterback tiers. So I think we have 1 through 4. And we thought, Mike, go through the process here. What's the rationale for how you rank these quarterbacks?
So really about 10 years ago is when this project started. And it was really just me learning from people in the league how they evaluate them once they're in the league. And so, if you're a tier one quarterback, you can probably win without as much help as a tier 2, 3, 4 quarterback. So Patrick Mahomes is the ultimate, right? I mean, they've been mid or bad on defense. They've been all over the place on special teams. They trade Tyreek Hill. They don't have a great run game. Shoot, Mahomes has a high ankle sprain. He still puts it on his back, wins the whole thing. That's the ultimate measure of being able to do it with less help. Whereas I think if you get down into tier three, you know, Kirk Cousins has been in there a lot, or Andy Dalton was, or Jimmy G, you feel like your team has a chance, but a lot of things got to be right. You know, maybe we're a top five defense. And if you're worse than that at a quarterback, we're talking 2000 Ravens defense, you know, to really do it. So that's really the lens that we're looking at them through. And so if you look at tier one, it's Mahomes unanimous, and then Burrow and Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, and Justin Herbert. You take a guy like Justin Herbert, not a lot of team success, but they're a bottom five team on defense and special teams. They have no run game, and they have a winning record. Probably has something to do with the quarterback. And so that's kind of how we do it, and it's really a lot of fun. I've learned so much over the years doing this, and I think it's getting better.
But do you there's some anonymous people who are involved in this giving you information. I'm curious if Mahomes has a weakness, is anybody willing to speak publicly about that?
Well, funny you mentioned that. So last year when I did this, there was one tier two vote for him, and it caused a fear. I think Andy Reid was asked about it. You know, I'm sure those guys use every little thing for motivation. There's not a lot of criticism of him, but I think it was, like even in this piece, it was talked about the next level for Mahomes is really getting to a Rodgers level in terms of manipulation of the clock, calling of the timeouts, maybe knowing when to give up on a play. Like if you watch Rodgers, I used to love this in Green Bay. They'd be off on the sideline, him and LaFleur, and LaFleur would be like lost in time in his call sheet. All this stuff's going on. Rodgers is chatting up the referee on a first name basis. Rodgers is watching the clock. You know, they get it down, and then Rodgers is the one to do it, right? Like, well, he runs everything. He's winking at Luke Kuechly before the play or whoever. He's in charge of absolutely every aspect. And so I think as you get more experience, a guy like Mahomes will even get better in those areas.
Well, I'm also wondering about like Jordan Love. To me, mm-hmm. it's kind of incomplete. So how do you rank somebody who really hasn't given us much?
Yeah. So if you get down to tier four, there's two ways you can be a tier four quarterback. One, not enough information. So that's Jordan Love all the way. He got 49 out of 50 votes in tier four. You could make the case, why even have him in there? Well, he's a starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He's played a game or two, and we put in some comments what people's impressions are of him. But for the most part, he's just going to be a tier four quarterback this year. And Mahomes started out as one, too. Remember when Mahomes had one start, people loved him, but we're not really evaluating Love in the same way as the others. So next year, Love hopefully will have started a full season and we'll have a little bit of a clearer picture. So yes, very much tier four is going to be Jordan Love, you know, Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell. I mean, how the heck could we have any sort of an eval on them? We're not saying they're bad because they're down in tier four. We're just saying we don't know.
How close are Herbert and Burrow?
Well, Burrow rocketed past all those guys. So Burrow was 49 out of 50 votes in tier one, and Herbert was 29 out of 50 in tier one. So, you know, the lack of team success for the Chargers, and then specifically blowing that lead. I asked a couple of these guys, you know, there's eight GMs, there's 10 head coaches, there's 15 coordinators, 10 other executives, a few other coaches. Well, what would Herbert have to do to win your tier one vote? And the answer was really, hey, make one play. You know, you're up 27 to nothing. You got to make a play to win that game. You can't lose that game. Conversely, on the other side, Trevor Lawrence came back from 17 on Dallas, comes back 27 on the Chargers. He vaulted up into tier two and is now some pretty heady company. So some of those big moments and big games can color it a little bit for some of the voters. But when you talk to 50, it sort of all evens out.
We're talking to Mike Sando, senior NFL writer for The Athletic, and his list is out, the top-tier quarterbacks. Also, when you start to think about MVP odds, and I do like where sometimes you look at that guy and we don't know if he's ready for the next step, and then he takes that next step. I know Justin Fields is getting a little too much love for me because you got to win. And if you're not going to be a playoff team, you're not going to be an MVP. But the thought of Justin Fields as sort of, what is he? Who is he, especially for that team?
So I think 10 years ago, if he was in this thing 10 years ago, I think the reviews on him would be more negative. I think people would be looking at the flaws as a passer, which everyone acknowledges, and say, sorry, You can't do it in this league unless you can do that. Now, I think what we've seen is a little bit of a path forward through a Jalen Hurts. You know, there's been a couple quarterbacks that have had some success and grown into something from being a really unpolished passer early on. So the makeup of Justin Fields, I think, is positive for him. I mean, I think everybody thinks he's really smart. He works really hard. He's diligent. But you're right. There was certainly a sense among the voters, hey, let's pump the brakes on the hype, because he really struggled throwing the ball. And ultimately, being able to handle the kind of the pure passing situations is a component of the upper tiers, especially tier one, because the game gets reduced to that. The other stuff melts away. I don't care how great of a runner you are. When you play in a playoff game against a good team, they're going to take that away. Or late in the game, you're down 10. You're going to have to throw the ball from this spot in the pocket. And so his ascension is going to depend on that. And he hasn't shown he can do that.
Why is there the fascination with Dak Prescott that the national media has?
So Dak's been in this, whatever, 5 or 6 years. He's just been like the same every year. I mean, for the most part, he might have started out as tier three. And I think Dallas is part of it. And then there's, you know, the last couple of years, they've had a good defense and they haven't pushed far in the playoffs, but their record's good. I think the playoff stuff
matters. But you were just talking, Mike, about moment, can you make a play? That's what the playoffs comes down to, especially at that position. And Dak has not made that play.
Yep, he has not elevated them when they've needed to. And you know, it is a small sample size, but you've got to do it. Now, you lose to the 49ers, I mean, that's a tough defense. So, you know, but I think he has a hole or two in his game, and that's why he doesn't go higher. There was a time a couple of years ago I thought he was going to make that jump. Didn't he seem, might have been before that injury, it just seemed like he was close. And he just hasn't done it for whatever reason. So I think he clearly needs more around him than some of the other guys that are higher than him.
How do you look at rookies?
We don't even put him in here, because I think the evaluation and projection of from college to the pros is such a crapshoot. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to people who know how to evaluate and all that, but you can get opinions all over the map. I leave him out because when you talk to 50 people in the league, there's a ton of them who didn't even look at the rookies. Their team wasn't going to take them. They're not even familiar with them, a lot of the coaches in particular. So I think you have to have played in the NFL to be evaluated for this.
Give me what Aaron Rodgers doesn't do well now that he used to do well, and what the Jets are going to get at that position.
He's probably a little less dynamic with his legs and ability to escape. I think that's probably the one thing. I think everything else he can still do. One of the interesting things about the little nuggets that was in there to me that I hadn't thought of was he's playing 14 games on turf this year. He played 4 last year. So when you think about Aaron Rodgers and when you think about him getting hurt, you think kind of calf injuries, lower leg, maybe getting slammed down on the turf in Minnesota, those types of plays. And he's going to be 40 this year. You know, so the wear and tear of that surface in that division, and just to be able to hold up with maybe some uncertainty at the tackle position, you know, a new system, maybe some breakdowns, not everyone on the exact same page. That would be my concern, is just the whole season and still being good in the playoffs. Because when he is healthy, I think he's still elite tier one. I think he can do everything.
I'll leave you with this. Steve Young was with us last week, and he said that this would be the era for him if he was playing now, because you got to take advantage of these yards. You got to run. You have to have that ability. He said the days of Dan Marino and Peyton Manning are over.
Yeah,
we won't have quarterbacks like that in the future.
Totally agree. I mean, there still could be one or two. I mean, Joe Burrow is somewhat of that. But I think if you look at tier one now compared to 10 years ago, it's the ability to create off platform and off schedule that is a part of these guys' games that we almost take for granted, almost all of them, right? Mahomes, Josh Allen, certainly Justin Herbert. And I do think that is different. And if you look at the top two tiers, which I have felt like if you got someone in the top two tiers, you feel like you could go to win the Super Bowl. Almost all of them can make a second play, like a reaction play, almost all of them. And so that's when people say, hey, how come Jared Goff isn't higher? Well, maybe he doesn't get his due, but it's got to kind of be set up for him. He's not going to create that second thing. So I totally agree. I think Steve Young, also this generation, the coaches are more adaptable. I think it's, you're going to get fired if you have your system and don't adapt it. You can't get the quarterback. So now they will work with somebody and give him a chance. Jalen Hurts never would have probably made it. And now he makes it.
Yeah, I agree. Also, where you go, it almost is beneficial for a quarterback to go later because he'll go to a better team. Because I've said this before, Patrick Mahomes was in Chicago, he'd be a curiosity. If Jalen Hurts played for the Bears, he'd be a curiosity. They play for really good teams. And then when you add something to those really good teams, that's where you get magic.
Yeah, having the time does help. But the coaches are such an important part. I mentioned Goff a minute ago. Think about from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay and now Ben Johnson. Or think of guys that are with Kyle Shanahan. It makes such a huge difference in their ability to not have to do it all. Maybe you even have a plan for him in Kansas City where Mahomes sits behind an ultimate pro and Alex Smith. Yeah. You know, that's the sort of thing that so many of these guys flame out because it just doesn't work out for them and they never really have a chance.
Great stuff, Mike. We appreciate your time. Have fun this upcoming season. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray. Depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. J.J. Watt's going to join us. Before he joins us, Paulie wants to play the J.J. Watt game.
Thank you, Dan. Last year, do we have music for this, Marvin?
No.
Oh, old school.
Yeah, all right.
Last year, J.J. Watt was listed at 288 on the Cardinals roster.
All right.
What does J.J. Watt weigh now? Who would like to go first?
Todd, I'll start with you.
I was just texting someone and I did not hear the question.
Okay. How much does J.J. Watt currently weigh?
He weighs 258.
258. All right. Seton O'Connor, what's J.J. Watt weigh right now?
I would say 265.
All right. Marvin.
I'd say 268.
268. Paulie.
262.
I'm going to go 267.
Man, we're all flirting, right? With
yeah, we are. I think he's dropped 20. Let's bring in J.J. Watt, three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Now going to be working for CBS Sports in the studio. J.J., how much do you weigh right now?
Well, first of all, my listed weight was a little high last year. I actually played at about 281, 282. I currently weigh 278.
278?
Yeah.
You've let yourself go.
I know. It's a disaster. it's just a disaster. No, it is interesting. It's very interesting, the whole dynamic of how it all goes from a nutrition and a lifting, working out standpoint when you're done. I certainly eat a lot less than I did when I was playing. I still work out about 4 days a week, but a whole lot less running and cardio, a lot more vanity and cosmetic lifts. But there's still some habits that are hard to break. I still squat. I still do a lot of lifts I used to, but I'm down about 3 pounds. I agree with you guys. It does feel and look like I've lost a little bit more, but the scale still says 278.
How close were you to playing for the Packers?
Oh, wow. You're really going in it right away. It's a story for another day, but, it would have been awesome.
Well, why for another day?
I have to get more information about it before I really talk about it more, but it would have been cool.
Yeah, I thought that seemed like able to go back home and that it was going to be a big deal to be able to do that or at least try to do that. So
it wasn't really an option. That's all I'll say.
Okay. When did you get interest from CBS to join them as a studio host?
It's a great question. I mean, we've kind of talked about stuff like this for the last few years, trying to discuss what I would do when I was done. The biggest thing for me and the thing I'm most excited about is obviously I said early in my career, I didn't want to do any of this stuff. And then as I got towards the end of my career, I realized how much I love the game and I realized how much I want to be around it. I can't be away from it. But I also want to be around my son. I also want to spend time with my family, and I didn't want to retire and immediately hop into a 20-plus week job. So CBS has been incredible. They're gonna let me come in and out this fall, spend some time with my son, come in, do some things, and then be a part of the group. So they've been great.
If when your son gets ready to pick a sport, let's say he wants to pick a sport, which one, since your wife, soccer player, you of course playing football, where would you steer your son to?
I mean, did you see that contract Mbappe got offered? he's kicking a soccer ball as we speak. I mean, he's in training right now.
Would you steer him towards soccer?
I mean, he's huge, man. I mean, he's a big boy. Like, I would like him. I think soccer would be great, but the reality is I think he's you just look at him and I think he's going to be a football player, but I mean, soccer is the worldwide sport. You can do so many different things with it. I think it's very beneficial. I've always said for kids to play multiple sports. So he's definitely going to play both growing up. But I'm not one of those guys that's like, I don't want my son to play football. If he wants to play football, I want him to play football.
Let's guess how much JJ Watt's son weighs. How old's your son?
He's 9 months.
9 months old. Paulie?
Now, I got some inside information. He was 18 pounds at birth. So
No, he wasn't.
That's what I was told. I got the announcement, JJ.
He was not 18.
I'm going to go. He's 9 months. It's like 30 pounds.
30 pounds. Todd?
24-7.
All right.
Ooh.
Seton?
22 and a half.
All right. Marvin?
28.
He's 23. He's 23 pounds right now at 9 months.
See, he hasn't been weighed since the 6 months, so it would be great if there's like a commercial break or I could go in and weigh him right now. But I would guess he's probably right around the 25-pound mark okay. right now.
Okay, what percentile is it?
he's every time we go in, she doesn't even show us the charts. She's just like, he's the top. Yeah, he's 99.
And once again, you do not say you're babysitting. You don't babysit your own child.
No.
Just want to make sure.
That?
Well, people do that. You know, like the phrasing of, oh, what are you doing today? Oh, I got to babysit my child. So just make sure.
No, that's terrible.
Yes.
That's terrible.
You're not babysitting.
No. No, I'm taking care of my son.
Well, where is he now?
I am on morning duty today. My wife and I switch off every day who wakes up with him. But she was very kind to wake up so that I could do this interview with
okay.
you. And he wasn't going to.
Okay. Now, I know a lot of times when players go into the booth or they go in as an analyst, then people will say, well, can you be critical? You know, are you going to be able to offer, you know, what opinions, what insights? Like, what will be your approach in how, as a former player, you handle the current players?
Yeah, I'm not shy in saying that I'm not going to be the crazy critical guy doing hot takes left and right because I've been on the other side of that and I know what it's like when the person in the booth or the person analyzing it doesn't know your exact job on that play and doesn't know exactly what your responsibility was. So I'm not going to be the guy popping off the handle saying, why was this guy in high post safety coverage when he was supposed to be covering the flat? You know, that's not going to be me, but I am going to offer a bunch of insights and things that I have learned over the years that I don't think the general public hears a ton about. I mean, I think that there's a lot of really interesting things that you can learn and things that people hear from snap counts to, you know, pre play checks and things that guys are doing. I mean, we hear all these things like the Omahas and like Patrick Mahomes comes up to the line, he's saying all this stuff. I've had 12 years of knowing exactly what all that stuff means. And I think I'm not going to give away their secrets, but I do think the fans wonder what that means. I do think, you know, when you bring a guy in motion and fans are wondering why are we doing this? Those are the types of things that I can help with. And then also if a guy is struggling, if a guy is going through a tough stretch, maybe it's a guy that's normally a 15, 20 sack guy and he's not getting to the quarterback lately. I can explain and point out why that's happening, whether it's double teams, whether it's chips, whether it's he's seeing extra attention, et cetera.
We're talking to J.J. Watt, and he'll be working with CBS as a studio analyst coming up this fall. I was also wondering about this when you don't have to name names, but a quarterback who had a tell. When you're playing against them, you yeah. knew this. Did you have how many of those quarterbacks do you think that you encountered?
I mean, everybody has something. It just depends on how useful it actually is. I mean, there's some guys that give away their snap count where you can tell, okay, this one's going to be on one, this one's going to be on two. There's some guys.
Well,
that
how
give
do you
away
give away?
Thing.
How do you give away the snap count?
So there's different things. Like when a guy walks up to the line of scrimmage, a lot of times, I mean, it's funny how simple this game can be at times. Like you got to get 11 guys on the same page. So a lot of times you got to remind the offensive lineman what the snap count is as you're walking up to the line. Cause there's so many things going on through your head. They already forgot by the time they get up there. So a guy will say something real simple. It could literally be just white. Like as he's walking around trying to do it nonchalantly. But if he says white, that means it's on one. If he says black, that means it's on two. It's little stuff like that. And the even better than that, like this is the great stuff. Even better than that, like we're football players. We're not the smartest people on the planet. After he says that, the offensive linemen will still have to remind each other. They'll be like, was it white? Yeah, it's white. And so like you're getting triple confirmation at the line of scrimmage that it's on one. And then I'm also a dumb football player myself. So I'm still jumping off sides at times. I know. Like I'm sitting over here like these idiots, they don't even know the snap count. Like they can't remember it. And then here I am jumping off sides like a real moron. Then there's other bigger tells. Like there's some quarterbacks in the shotgun that they lift one heel up a little bit if it's going to be a run play, and they put that heel down on the ground if it's going to be a pass play, so they can drop back. Like, there's little things under center. Some quarterbacks will bend their knee a little bit more if they're going to drop and hand off the ball to the right. They're going to hand it off to the left. So, like, there's a whole bunch of little things like that that are really fun, and I love – those are the things my brother and I talk the most about.
But also, you're reading the tackle who's in front of you, I'm guessing, for body language as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can see a ton of different things there. A lot of times, you know, one of the most basic ones is pass versus run. A guy's foot will be way back in the stance. If it's pass, it'll be up forward if it's a run. I mean, you have the old school one that doesn't really work anymore because everybody wears gloves, but like the white knuckles leaning forward in a run, you know, leaning back on a pass. An interesting thing that I always tell young guys with tackles, with any offensive lineman, their outside knee always moves first. It's just a little thing, but it's always the first thing to move. So whenever you're keying a get off for an offensive lineman, you key their little outside knee if you're not a guy that likes to look at the ball. All little stuff like that. That's stuff you gain over the years.
That's good stuff. We had Steve Young on last week, and he said that today's game, you got to take advantage of the yards. If you're a quarterback, you've got so much open space, you've got to be able to run, extend a play. He said the days of Dan Marino and Peyton Manning are over. What do you make of that?
I mean, I think it is massively beneficial if you can move. I don't think it's a 100% necessity, but I do think that if you have the ability to, it just makes life so much more difficult for defenses. I mean, not only from a pass rush standpoint, having to try and keep you in the pocket and then chase you when you're out of the pocket, but when you can move, you extend the play so long, and the DB is the hard, a cornerback is the hardest job besides quarterback, the guy who actually has to like know everybody's job. But physically, the position of cornerback is the hardest position to play in the NFL. You're not allowed to touch the guys, but you have to cover them. They know where you're going. You don't know where they're going. And it's just the longer you have to do it, the harder it is. So any quarterback that can extend the play with their legs just allows the receiver to get open.
And also, the cornerback then has to come up and make a tackle as well, you know, for a quarterback running or running back running. The devaluing of running backs. What advice would you give either the NFL Players Association or running backs as how to improve your financial lot in life?
It's really tough, man. I mean, it's the best proof so far that business is the business. Like, we just... That is the reality of the situation. Some people are beneficiaries of it. The fact that, you know, contracts are going up and people are willing to value positions higher. And some people are on the other side of it. And running backs right now are on the other side of it, where ownership is kind of seeing that in their eyes, you can try and find a guy in the draft and you can try and find a younger guy and pay that guy a whole lot less and see if you can get by. And they're basically what they're trying to say essentially is that I can find a running back that's not as good, but is the margin is smaller. I can't do that at edge. I can't do that at a receiver. And I mean, I've played against a lot of running backs, and there are some incredible running backs out there that I believe are worth every single penny. It's just, that's the business that the owners have decided to do. And from what do you do as a player standpoint? Sadly, there's really not a whole lot you can do. You go out there and you play as good as you can possibly play, but we're in a CBA. Like, you can't have one position group hold out. It doesn't work, sadly.
I noticed the hat, Burnley Soccer. So you're a part owner of the soccer club?
Indeed.
Wow. My bad.
I just don't want you to get in trouble with the Europeans, Dan. I know you're big in Europe.
I am.
So I just want you, yeah.
By the way, we're going to Dublin in 3 weeks. Going to do the show over there. I mean, you have an open invite. Will Ferrell's going to join us, so.
I absolutely adore Ireland. It is one of my favorite places in the world. Guinness is the nectar of the gods, and I enjoy it. I'm very jealous of you guys.
Okay.
But yes, Burnley. I'm going over to Burnley next week. My wife and I go in the opening match. We play Manchester City in the opening match on Friday next week, and it's going to be great.
Now, how much is your wife teaching you about soccer?
Oh, come on. I've been a big fan for a long time, but she does teach me she does teach me some of the very fine intricacies of the game. Obviously, we're watching the Women's World Cup right now. But it's been fascinating. Our manager, Vincent Kompany, is a longtime Premier League legend. And he asks me questions about things in the NFL because he's a brilliant mind and he always wants to learn. So he'll ask me different things about NFL meetings and schedules to on the field things. Like he'll want to know how you signal plays and what's coverages like. How do you beat zone coverages? How do you beat man coverages? It's fascinating to have conversations with him.
Good to talk to you. I wouldn't go too tight the suit for CBS.
No, I got to breathe. It's got to breathe.
Yeah, you just you want to call attention to your words, not you know your physique, yeah. your arms.
So no crazy patterns, no crazy tie combos.
No, just clean, right. And crisp. You know, you don't want to be outlandish just because of what you're wearing.
Right. I want my words to be outlandish.
Yeah. No, you don't have to be outlandish. You just have to be professional. That's what you want to be. You want to be professional like me.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Not, yeah.
Yeah. You don't.
How are the boys? Are all the boys good there? I haven't seen everybody
see.
In a while.
Let's see. Can we take a picture of the Danettes and show JJ? Yeah, they pretty much see. Yeah. Yay. Yay. There they are. Yeah.
You guys look great. I hope everybody's good. I appreciate it. Hope to see you guys in person again soon.
Yeah, we
do. Dan, you have a Burnley kit and hat coming your way. Fritzy probably stole it and put it in his house, but it should be there soon.
Busted.
Fritzy, did something come in for me from JJ1?
I don't want to get into it right now.
All right. Hey, congrats. Good luck. And we'll hopefully talk again soon. Thank you. That's JJ1.
Have a great day.
That's a three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year and CBS Sports NFL Studio Analyst.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.